along.
Well, thank you, those people who have been sitting here the whole time and are still here. Appreciate that. I'm Linda Bergsma, and I am going to talk to you about a study that we did looking at the effectiveness of health promotion media literacy education, a systematic review, and I want to acknowledge my co-author, Mary Carney, on this. These are my goals for today. Generally, I want to examine this evidence from the systematic review. And then I actually wasn't going to and didn't put in my original proposal or abstract to talk about another project that I've been working on called MediaWise Families, which is looking at a health-promoting media literacy education intervention for families. But because I got assigned to this group that was about family and parental child communication, I thought, wow, I'll look at a little bit of that with you also, and because that is new, even some of my latest work, which I've actually just completed a publication and submitted on it. So we'll talk about that a little bit specifically. Anyway, background, I'm sure you all are aware of the fact that, you know, obviously, media have a significant influence on the health of youth, probably not only youth. The Kaiser Family Foundation talks a lot about the new media and teens spending a great deal of time with and increased time with new media and the same amount of time with old media. Public health professionals have used many different strategies to address the effects of media upon health, and regulating media content and limiting children's media use and social marketing are three approaches that have been used traditionally. But media literacy education has emerged in the last 20 years as a promising alternative to the censorship of regulating unhealthy programming or limiting media use. Media literacy has been defined as the ability to access, analyze, evaluate, and create media in a variety of forms. And rather than trying to protect people from potentially harmful messages, media literacy education to promote health involves them in a critical examination of media messages that influence their perceptions as well as their practices. It's designed to give people the critical thinking skills necessary to resist the influence of these messages and make healthy choices. The field of media literacy education effectiveness research is really in its infancy. There have been several studies over the past 20 years, but they've been conducted, you know, with more or less rigor. Lots of questions remain, and there up until this study had been no comprehensive review of the research since about 1990. And no attempt to determine the effective intervention components, what might make an intervention effective. So these are the research questions then that we used. So what are the context and process elements of an effective health promoting media literacy education intervention? And we were able to look at actually four of these context and process elements as dependent variables. And then we also assigned effectiveness ratings to each of the studies that we included in this systematic review based on the outcomes achieved. And so the methodology was a systematic review, and we looked at a lot of articles and came and selected those based on keywords. Well, excuse me, this was our keyword search that we used for health-related indexes and non-health-related indexes. Basically, we actually looked at over 65 studies for inclusion, but only 23 met the sample selection criteria. And these are the criteria. The studies were published between 1990 and July 2006. They were peer-reviewed. They had a description of the sample, the study design, the intervention, the evaluation measures, and analysis. And studies included an experimental media literacy intervention of 25 or more minutes in length, and designed to improve the health of youth. youth, and that they basically were really focused on critical media literacy skills. We didn't include studies that had a small media literacy component in a larger curriculum because we were concerned about how the other parts of the larger curriculum may have influenced the effectiveness ratings that we might have assigned. Now, the critical media literacy skills, we operationalized these using the National Association of Media Literacy or for Media Literacy Education core principles of media literacy. And because they are not based in student critical thinking and discovery, studies that taught students, for example, to resist advertising messages were not included, and studies that focused on reducing TV use were not included. So we did a lot of data extraction and analysis here. You can imagine that this we came up with a ton of data. And so that's why you have tables in front of you. Any systematic review, you're going to have a lot of tables. And these tables are certainly not possible to show you in any way on the screen. That's why I handed them out to you. So table one is the final review sample of is the descriptive data. And we looked at 28 interventions in 23 studies of, and published in 26 publications. You can see where these studies originated. The health issues addressed were nutrition, nutrition slash eating disorders, body image, a little different from just nutrition, substance abuse prevention and violence prevention. The sample size in these studies was anywhere from 17 to 723, so you can see that was all over the board. And the target age group was sometimes children, sometimes adolescents, and sometimes college students. And the numbers after that is the numbers of interventions that were that were targeting children, et cetera. Here we see the setting. A lot of them were in class. Some of them were in community groups. Some of them were out of class. And some of them were totally unspecified. We didn't know where they were held. The length, some of them are short, some of them average, some of them long, about even. Who delivered the intervention? Most frequently the researcher, teen peers, college students, classroom teacher, once used a Girl Scout troop leader. But if you look at table two, I think it will show that the actual delivery of the intervention was often unspecified. We didn't know from the article that we were looking at, from the published article, who delivered the intervention. And when it was unspecified, we assumed that it was the researcher or somebody on the research team. We also looked at the media literacy concept skills taught, and we used these five media literacy concepts that come from the Center for Media Literacy because these are pretty widely used. And you can see that all the media messages at number one and number four were included in every one of the 28 interventions. The other concepts that were taught were how the media affects health and then targeted health issue knowledge, whatever the the health issue was with targeted knowledge about that health issue. Intervention effectiveness was really quite difficult to assess, and so we abstracted from these studies a lot of information on the health issue, the research design, the theoretical approach, the results at pre and post and retest, elaborated results. And the overall evaluation rating was calculated to determine actually the amount of statistically significant change in the intervention that the intervention achieved on selected measures. We looked at two comparisons of intervention effectiveness, both short-term and long-term, and we rated them on a scale of 1 to 5, and then we ultimately dichotomized the scale to to look at those that received a one or a two were considered ineffective, and those that were received a three to a five were considered effective. We did the independent ratings for people, the two authors and two others, and the inter-rated statistics we calculated using Kappes-Cohen, or Cohen's Kappa, sorry, were pretty significantly good. So overall, we felt like we had pretty good ratings here. Let's look at some results now. What we found was that there was no clear relationship between effectiveness and setting. In-class interventions and classroom interventions were well represented at all levels of effectiveness. The analysis revealed that the long-term interventions were somewhat more likely to be rated effective, which is kind of intuitive. But in fact, some of the interventions didn't follow this pattern. So we really don't know for sure that there can't be some very effective and media literacy interventions that are shorter term. And then the association between who delivered the intervention and effectiveness, it looks like the effective interventions were delivered by research staff more than others, and the and 15 of the effective interventions, of the 15, 10 were delivered by research staff, and only 4 of the 9 9 ineffective interventions were delivered by research staff. These are the numbers on the core concepts that were taught. As I said, 1 and 4 were taught in all interventions. And core concepts 2 and 5 look to be quite important at short term and also at short term. And core concept 2 was if it was important at long-term as well, and as core concept 5. And then for core concept 3, it was kind of interesting because the relation was negative, with more ineffective interventions teaching it at both short-term and long-term. And this finding definitely needs some additional exploration. This was rather an interesting one also, and on the targeted health issue knowledge, it seemed that more effective interventions taught this. On how the media affects the health, affects children's health or youth health, it seems like the ineffective interventions taught more of it. And what we have found is that often this concept, young people do not like to be told that media affects them or influences them in any way, and they often, actually, in my own experience, will resist believing that. And so, if I tell them directly, what I do and what needs to be done in a critical media literacy kind of intervention is to give them activities with which they can determine for themselves if they are influenced or not influenced and how influenced they are. And it's quite easy for them to, once they've done these activities, come up with this idea, yeah, I guess I must, I must be paying attention to this stuff. Okay. So it's much easier for them to do it in a discovery mode as opposed to direct telling them. So there are some limitations. We could have omitted some studies. These review studies are really biased by the amount of information that the publications actually allow. A lot of the material that we thought we are sure these studies had, but were not even published because of the word limitations and the space limitations of getting this kind of information into a scientific publication, peer-reviewed publication. The effectiveness ratings were influenced by the number and type of evaluation measures used, and also, we cannot determine if the 4 selected measures are the main factors responsible for effectiveness. In fact, media literacy education proponents maintain that successful media education results not so much from what is taught, but how it's taught, the actual pedagogical approach used. This study provides a detailed picture of health-promoting media literacy education, which hopefully will be helpful to researchers and educators, hopefully helpful in designing new research. It has an additional important component on the measuring effectiveness of health-promoting media literacy education, which has not been done before. And it provides a framework for organizing research about media literacy education that says that researchers really need to be more explicit about the core concepts, skills included, who delivered the intervention, in what setting, for how long, and utilizing what pedagogical approach. And so I am going to go now just briefly to the MediaWise Families Program. This was an 18-month pilot research study, utilized a media literacy-based health promotion intervention. And it was a study for low-income Hispanic families in Arizona, many of them are new immigrant families. And this was the logic model that we looked at, and basically we were working on the health impact place, looking at the high belief of reality of media messages among family members and trying to get them to reduce their belief in reality. We did a lot of work with them in two different workshops held on two different Saturday mornings. They were both about four-hour workshops. And we used a peer family training model where the project staff trained peer families and then the peer families trained intervention families. Here's an intervention, a training by the peer families, and here are some of the intervention families making their media use plans.
We
used a lot of evaluation measures, but I want to look particularly at the media use plan and at this point because it fits most into the whole part about family-child communication. Here are some of the descriptives about the people who were involved. It was a small group of people because this was a pilot test. And so these were the family communication intervention goals. And here are some questions that we used with them. This is the question on the survey, and what we found here is that we did get a statistically significant increase at retest. Remember, retest was 4 months after post-test. And we didn't look at post-test here because this was the post-test, we didn't expect to see anything on post-test just right after we had talked to them about doing this. And then the same here, and we got a definitely statistically significant increase in the peer family, not so much in the intervention family with that. We have rules in our family about how much time we spend watching TV. Here, the intervention families increased significantly at post-test and held some gains at retest, though not significantly. This one is just the kind of progression that we like to see among peer family members, but it's not significant since the numbers are so low in the peer family. However, the intervention family members increased significantly at post-test and held fairly well at retest. So you can see in the peer family, it starts at retest, it goes up at post-test, and then it goes up again at retest, which is a part of the whole idea that media literacy takes practice. And here, in our family, the adults and kids often discuss what we see on TV and the movies and in the internet. And here we see some intervention family progress. Again, the kind of thing we like to see, though not significant. So here are the conclusions. We really need to look more at the study of media literacy. Until this study, there has been no research on the effects of family-based health-promoting media literacy education. And so the family focus here and the longitudinal research hopefully will add some information to this study. And I do have a few copies of the draft of this manuscript if anyone is interested. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would love to see that. Well, thank you very much. And just we're going to have a couple minutes of questions. There seemed to be a prevalent theme here and before we consider communicating to parents and what channels we choose based on looking at responses to messaging and as well as self-efficacy. So this is really a very interesting theme running through. Do we have any questions for our speakers? Yes, go ahead. Yes.
But I think they did, we wanted to see sort of what, if they knew what their kids were being fed, if it were healthy, like if they were eating fruits and vegetables at school, then maybe they were going to be less likely to serve them a dinner if the parents felt that they already had them. But that's definitely.
Okay, go ahead.
She was concerned about her child not gaining weight, or that was a preoccupation of, and this is just going from my memory because there were such interesting stories, but I don't think that when we did the assessments, I think if there had been a disease sort of concern, that would have come out in the data, but in general, when we looked at, when they went in, we didn't ask if they had any particular issues they were worried about. I think one mother did mention that she was worried about her child not gaining weight.
Well, thank you. And any more? Do you have another? Okay. Thank you very much. This was very interesting, and really the issue around assessing also the psychopathology for self-efficacy was very, very interesting too. Thank you very much. Also, I want to mention in the back, there are the listings for the rest of our health communication working group sessions, as well as a networking sheet for all of you, and the brochures if any of you are interested in joining the health communication work group, and the intern opportunity that you can read in the back. There's an internship opportunity. All right.
Thank you.
and nutrition. And so I'm so humbled for coming, but I think actually it's
well,
Done. Yeah.
don't you dare think
about it.
Oh.
I think we're just in
Ah, oh, my God. I know you.
I mean, I know of you.
Matter of fact, I teach a class called Nurse Communication and Public Health Promotion, and we use some of the stuff out of your health communication book that you've created and so on. And so you're aware of you, and it's really nice to meet you.
Well,
if
you're really interested in the study on the
Yes.
And after that, you can talk to them and information stuff. And then my idea transfer was as well as open communications, and media literacy is an example of that. And I think there is not enough there.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't say that. You and I are the same exact wavelength. I'm very interested in health literacy, but the much expanded model.
Yes.
If you think about it, people who are low literate are going to be low health literate.
Right.
Because they're low literate, they don't read. So why are we worried about their print literacy? We should be really interested about where they're getting information about health.
Right.
And they're getting information, we know, from the National Assessment of Adult Literacy and the Health Literacy Component and all of that. We know they're getting information from the media, particularly non-print media like television and radio. We need to be looking at how media, I say, right now we're looking at health print literacy, health / print literacy.
Yes.
And there's so much focus there, and that's all the main focus. We need to be looking at health / media literacy.
You know, but in my opinion, it's so much integrated because the way I teach it, mm-hmm. I developed it mm-hmm. a little bit more than mm-hmm. this, is that the health literacy is affected by official communication settings, in the mass media communication setting, and it affects also the community communication setting.
Exactly.
And in those three areas,
yes.
need to be looked as a whole, because you know, as long as people who don't understand information in the provider patient setting are more likely to understand it when they look at the television show, when they mm-hmm. actually are, mm-hmm. you know, as a community event.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at how do we approach this community population from a literacy point of view in all these three.
Well, one of the places that I'm looking at is we have good measures for health print literacy
right.
in terms of the TOFLA and all
sure.
of those kinds of things. Okay, what we don't have is any measure for health / media literacy. I have proposed to NIH to develop a measure, and it didn't get in a small R23 or something like that, and it didn't get picked up. But I would love to work with somebody like you, for instance, to think more about how can we develop this measure. You know, another person who's talking about an expanded model, but not quite as much, it's Christina Zarkadoulis. She puts media literacy into media literacy into civic literacy. And then she has this whole cultural literacy piece where she doesn't even put media literacy into. And it's not integrated enough in her model. I'm glad she's looking at it and talking about it, but it's not integrated enough. And so that's where I'm so let me get exchange cards with you.
So you're looking at the low literacy level and the peer interpersonal storytelling. Because there are a number of people who just turn off to and they'll get information from their church groups. They listen to people come in and talk about their diseases, what they did to prevent this. It happens with prostate cancer.
Well,
it's huge.
I agree with you, but if you look at I've looked at a lot of things that Kaiser has, and the National Assessment of Adult Literacy, the Health Literacy Component. And from what I'm finding out, people aren't learning it from other people they're getting less information about health from other people than they are from the media.
There are little pockets of things, barber shops and
Yep. And there's ones where everyone comes in and talks about,
yep,
we're just diagnosed with this and stuff. I mean, that's another thing to look at.
Yeah. Well,
and
what that is it's non-print also.
Yes.
So we're not looking at, looking at health
oral
literacy.
Right. Yes.
Whether it's from the media or whether it's from you to me, we're not looking at that sort of oral media literacy because we're so focused on, patient provider communication and so on. And I want to say, you're spending all your money in one place, and I think we know enough about that. Let's move on to where we find people get their information otherwise,
But if you're interested in brainstorming together about developing the model for media, community, and overall the patient provider, I would be definitely interested in doing this because I'm already doing it in my classes at NYU.
Fantastic. Renata, I would love to, too,
yeah.
Because it's interesting. I think I saw that you were going to be here, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get to where you were speaking and so on.
Yeah.
Because I teach this class called Mass Communication for Public Health Promotion. It's all Tuesday morning, and I'm going back late tonight so I can teach my class.
That's very nice of you.
Well, they're in the process of working on their, their plans for a major campaign right now, and so on. And they need the input.
Drama series on TV, and especially with SCDs and talking to parents,
yeah.
And also to take a look at Google that because you can find it. There's some assessment place how information is passed from segment to segment on a 13-part series, and they develop a story around a disease, and people actually learn about the disease from the time a person's diagnosed to the time they're treated. So there's some interesting stuff on that.
That's